keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. With a little flavour added in.
Well, now let's have a little bit.
Detroit style. The Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
One of the senators of the Congress.
Well, hold on. Trademark Productions podcast, socially optimized radio show, and we're talking a little bit about some cool stuff. But you know, before we got recording, there was some banter going on inside of here, and it's kind of interesting though as well. But it was more about the fact that talk show radio and how some of these guys are just complete idiots. And you were talking about O'Reilly, and now there's a new thing going on with Obama.
Oh, well, yeah, I mentioned Rush Limbaugh and Don Imus, and then O'Reilly came up as well. But, no, I heard something yesterday, and I don't want to make this thing too political, but that they want to try and keep Obama off the ballot in Georgia based on the whole birth certificate birther thing. And supposedly one of the state congressmen or senators, I don't remember which one, who's a lawyer, is the acting counsel. to try and push this through.
It's so absurd.
Exactly.
Like, I can't even...
So they want to keep him off the ballot because of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even imagine that train of thought.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I can't even fathom it.
And people spend their time and money to do shit like this.
Lots of it. Yeah. And the whole... And then when they started doing some forensic accounting on Mitt Romney's taxes and these different foundations that he would give to that then would give money out. There's one piece about some foundation to... help people turn not gay.
To un-gay people?
Un-gay people.
Oh, man.
It's just comical. I mean, it's not even political. It's just stupid.
And, yeah. he gave money to this.
Oh, he gave, I think, like, this one foundation he gave like $600,000 to, and then they went out and funded these different groups, and I think that one got like $10,000 or $20,000.
So he's in a very roundabout way,
yeah,
funding these,
yeah, exactly,
these people.
What was the group called, Dario?
I don't remember.
Were you a supporter?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. I only give to recycling for charities.
No! I wouldn't even throw that ball around in here, my friend. You pelt it with it.
All right.
It's a bad table topic for you and the wife.
Sorry.
All right, so Michael... You wanted to kind of start today off because we've got a couple cool things to go on and a little bit of a reputation management simulcast of things happening here. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're ready.
All right.
We'll wait for you.
The first thing I wanted to talk about primarily was Google's new privacy policy, which Mashable's calling one policy to rule them all, which I love because it's a Lord of the Rings reference. But what they have done...
Are you a big Lord of the Rings fan?
I'm a big sci-fi fantasy fan in general. I do have a Star Wars tattoo.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
What is it of?
It's of the Hoth system.
The what?
The Hoth system.
What is
that?
You
know, the ice planet? From Empire Strikes Back.
From which sequel?
Empire Strikes Back.
And what happens in that?
Luke finds out that Darth Vader is his father, which is
your father.
The most misquoted movie quote of all time.
How does it go, Dario?
Luke.
Anyway, back to Google. And maybe I'll get my real voice back here in a minute. Google has revamped their privacy policy completely to create one policy that encompasses all of Google's 70-plus services. And what it's going to do is it's going to create a unique...
I think you sound better than that.
Thank you.
It sounds pretty evil.
Goes with
it
the does. Too.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a privacy policy that will essentially create a unique Google for every individual user. So they're going to be taking information from based on what you email about, based on what you put on Google Plus, and they'll be targeting those ads to you directly. I cannot handle this.
All right, you're done.
All right. Anyway.
So it's individualized privacy policies based on a user's searching preference?
What they're going to do is the privacy policy basically takes all of Google's, you know, 70-plus services and puts all of those separate privacy policies into one, and it's integrating all of Google's services into one general one general service, I guess. And the example that Kate Freeman from Mashable used was, she talked about how if you email a friend about a pet adoption, or, you know, adopting a dog or something like that, you'll start seeing ads for pet adoptions in your area. And it'll also learn the spelling of your, you know, your contacts' names. So if you're typing an email and you have a friend who's named John and it's with no H, it'll already complete that for you. So it's going to be...
It won't show you an ad for local John's?
I hope not.
Or a porta potty?
No, but it's just, it's one of those...
Number one and get rid of number two.
Yes, exactly. but it's one of those things that's going right in along the lines of search plus your world. They're trying to integrate everything into one thing. So when you go into Google, you've got Google Plus results showing up in your search. You have ads that are targeted based on what you talk about with your contacts and everything. So like we talked about, I think it was last week, and we talked about searching credit cards. You know, in different parts of the country, you're going to get different results. Those results are going to be even more... more different now, and even more individualized than they were before. So it's pretty interesting, I think.
Well, that leads to the question. What's in your wallet? So, you know,
it could be a little, on the opposing viewpoint, a little scary.
How could it be any more scary than what it is?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
they're mining all of your personal data even more than they were before. They did say in their blog post that they are explicitly not giving it to advertisers, though. What they're doing is they're targeting ads they've already bought toward you. Not.
I think the loophole there is they're not giving it to advertisers, but they have their own advertising system, so they're allowing advertisers access to that data in a blind format via their system. So it's feeding their advertiser intelligence.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be the reception seems, you know, not their people aren't really too upset.
I thought my life was complicated. Jesus.
And then speaking of other social media stuff, Twitter is now going to be censoring tweets around the world, depending on what country they're in, if they break the law. There we are. And they're not going to be censored globally, so if you're in the United States, you'll be able to see every tweet tweeted ever, anywhere. But let's say in, I don't know, like country X, if it, you know, outlaws speech about this, this, and that, Twitter will automatically censor those tweets in that country.
Sponsored by.
I'm sure all the Arab Spring and all the stuff in the Middle East, you know, that was pushed largely by, you know, Facebook and Twitter, I'm sure had a huge influence on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that social media was the entire driving force behind the Arab Spring. And then the global Occupy movement as well.
Yeah, and how are they going to censor that in a live environment? So tweets won't be in real time.
What Twitter said is they have a new technology that will do it in real time. So I don't know how exactly it's going to work.
Based off of words and relationships? It means an algorithm that basically looks at 140 characters, any types of words within that character set, including spaces, and then relationships of how those words could be pushed together and what they could be deciphered as. So it's a rating system?
I'm not entirely sure how it works. It was just announced yesterday.
Christ.
But it is, it's pretty intense.
Yeah. Well, it's 140 characters of intense power. So much for that.
Yeah. So if you're in, you know, some country that promotes censorship, don't tweet garbage. That will get you in trouble.
So next time I'm at the wall in Israel, all I can say is hi.
Our tenement square.
Yeah.
Shalom. Okay. Well, Dario has an interesting topic that we went through the archives and ruffled up some old stuff, and we actually have a newspaper sitting in front of us that's a little old and tethered.
It is dated May 17th, 2009. Cover story in the Detroit Free Press. I'm sorry, the Detroit Free Press. Social site becomes political tool. Perfect segue from the previous conversation. Tweets take flight with lawmakers. This is the quote from one Mayor Dave Bing. From one of his tweets, it said, "We just need new leadership. The city of Detroit had a lot of oysters, but no pearls for a long time." And lo and behold, the mayor is sitting right in front of me.
Hello. Yeah, I think it was an interesting topic we brought up last week. I'm speaking on reputation management in Hawaii in about 2 weeks over at PubCon. And one of the components that I'm really hovering in on is SEO techniques that somebody may take on to damage a reputation online. But a lot of protection that really needs to happen or people need to be aware of with their online brands. There's so many new properties that are coming to light every day, every week, of where you can claim essentially your space. And we recently had a couple clients that have been hacked by I want to say it's a Google bot, but it's not. It's a bot that's going around and claiming people's Google places. And then it seems like it's a third-party black hat service that is then redirecting URLs and the people's actual profiles over to their competitors' profiles or their competitors' actual websites. So it's kind of funny. Like, the person's name will all be there and everything, and their website will read correctly, but then it actually redirects over to a competitor's website. So it seems like a black hat third-party service that's actually infiltrating Google Places, which that's a lot of work, man, because there's a lot of human verification involved in that. So the bait and switch on something like that is not acceptable. But, you know, we... Originally, the city of Detroit's been through a lot of shit in the past decade, and we've had a lot of bad leadership. We've had a lot of negative press, and I guess it's very depressed here in the city, financially, real estate, job market, big three, bankruptcies, all that good stuff. Dave Bing has been a leader in the community for a number of years after being a Detroit Piston, and he's a self-made man, essentially, went on to be a very successful businessman, and he took on the race trying to step in after the outing of Kwame Kilpatrick, and he essentially was doing it under the best intentions. I mean, he's really at the end of his career. There's really not a lot of benefit to him in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, he's financially successful, so it was probably more of a legacy.
Yeah, he's not even taking a salary. He's taking like a dollar salary.
Yeah.
You know, for a while there, he didn't want to live in the mansion either, which now he lives in. But anyways, one of the things that we did immediately is when this was all unraveling and there was an interim mayor, we went out and registered all the Twitter accounts for all the people that were essentially going to be running. And we started tweeting.
So you were at Dave Bing.
I was at Dave Bing. I was at Freeman Hendricks, at Freeman. I forget who else. There was like four or five in the beginning.
Ken Cockrell?
Yep. It was also Ken Cockrell, who I seen at the DAC the other night.
all local politicians who had their hat in the race.
Yeah, that had their hat in the race. And so it came down to Freeman Hendricks and Dave Bing won in May. But we had quite a large following. We ended up attaining, within just a couple months, over 10,000 followers. And we had a lot of people that felt it was Dave Bing because it was at Dave Bing. We did nothing of malice. We only talked about some of his beliefs. That we were re-quoting quotes that he had in the press. We were re-quoting different conversations that we had seen him in. So we were following local media, Free Press, Cranes, even some things like Indeed Business, things we were seeing on the news at news sources, and just talking about generalized statements, you know, that Detroit needs a lot of help, and what do the constituents want to see what happened with city parks and things like that. And there's a tremendous amount of outreach and response that came out of that.
Well, then throw one sub point in there, too. You know, this was around the whole time, you know, with Obama and, you know, his sort of success story using social media. And at that time, I think they sort of intimated that, you know, local politicians were doing that, you know, using social media to help, you know, connect with the community and all these things. So the egg on the face was, you know, not to foreshadow what's going to happen, but that, you know, you had the Twitter account and it basically flew under the radar. And, you know, 10,000 people sort of bought into it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there was a lot of other larger political-based Twitter groups or individuals, leaders in the community, churches, pastors, that were conversing with myself as Dave Bing persona.
other mayors. And
other mayors, news outlets. I've even had tweets from Jennifer Granholm, Attorney General Mike Cox, Robert Fricano. So, I mean, people really thought it was him. There was no real type of verification. This is before they had verification with Twitter as well. But, I mean, we ended up making the front front page of the Sunday paper, the Sunday Free Press, on May 17th, 2009. And it was really, like Darren said, talking about the use of social media with politicians. And actually, they have Dave Bing, one of four people, along with Granholm Mike Cox. And who's the other guy?
Pete Hoekstra.
Pete Hoekstra and Dave Bing. And we're one of four, and it's not even Dave Bing. So this is a ton of egg on the face.
And ironically, in that same piece, they also mentioned an imposter posting on Twitter as U.S. Senator Carl Levin.
So they actually talked about an imposter, not knowing that Dave Bing wasn't really Dave Bing. So, I mean, that just kind of goes to show you, I guess, a couple different things to learn from this is that...
Well, let's fast forward to when you were sort of outed, and then, you know, I there were a couple takeaways for me from a more of a PR standpoint.
Well, you know, yeah, I think, okay, from PR and I guess from reputation management type of a situation where it went through the summer, it went all the way through the fall, and we had tried numerous times in a very, very public format and a very appropriate format to contact the director of communications for the mayor's office.
And eventually their social media, quote unquote, manager.
Yeah, they hired a social media manager to the tune of like $67,000. A year, some little portly chick who didn't know her ass from a hole in the ground, and I'm only being mean because she sucked. And she got hired in around December, but we made numerous, I mean, phone calls, personal letters.
Snail mail
on my letterhead, and strictly stating, you know, we support you, we're a local agency, we've been carrying your name, we want to continue to help you have a voice on social media, and you can look back through historics of all of our tweets and everything, all the communications and the conversation and engagement that we've had with community members and constituents, and it's all been very, very positive, reflecting to the mayor's take of office. And it all fell on nothing. We never received any type of feedback. We never received any type of anything, to the extent of they went through a verification process, and I think it was just after Christmas of 2009, and I'm talking days, where we finally had the account turned off. So they didn't even come back to us to try to achieve his account and relinquish it. But they just basically, it fell on deaf ears. No one wanted to respond to us. I mean, we had my name, my phone number, my company name. There was every which way for them to get a hold of us multiple times over months. And we sat and talked about it a couple different times of why the hell would their communications manager, with everything that's going on within the city right now, what's going on with the ex-mayor and all these legal charges and the bankruptcy that just had happened with the big three, or with GM and Chrysler. Why would they not want to relinquish this? Why would they just not want to, not throw an egg on their face, but I mean, at least to reach out to us to say, you guys took it, shame on you, that was bad. We could come after you for impersonating a public official, misrepresenting a public official. I mean, that's a federal offense I could have been charged with. And they never even came through to just take it over. You know, there was no malice. There was nothing that they could have really said anything bad about anything at all. We weren't saying that Dave Bing endorsed, potato chips or something. You know, there's
it was all very, you know, sort of vanilla content.
So, you know, the takeaway from something like that is, you know, so now it's just Mayor Bing, I believe it is his Twitter handle now that's being done by a third party, a social media manager, if that's even still valid inside of his, inside of the mayor's office. I really haven't done too much more with it. But I think the takeaway from that is you really don't know who could actually grab an online property or an online social network. And in 2009, Twitter was just really starting to get some grounds. Yeah. Obama showed with social media, with online, with SEO, with YouTube, with video, the outreach that was happening across Facebook to really help catapult him into capture the U.S. presidency. And I think that was really the point of the cover story here, is that was starting to get some legs. More and more people were getting into it, even from a higher adult level, that it wasn't so trendy and young and more the little techie kids, the newer generation. What is it? Generation even Z?
Generation Y.
Is that Y?
I think I'm Y, technically. I'm 25.
Are we X?
Yeah, we're X. Oh. We're Generation
Z. So Generation Z?
Maybe Generation
Or Millennials?
Millennials.
Millennials.
There we go.
That's right.
Yeah, so the Millennials and the Tweens.
That's right.
Spring. The takeaway really is to, you need to be aware, at least from a business standpoint of view, or if you are in public, in public eye, to be very aware and very cautious of what properties are starting out there, and do you need to at least capture them to have control of them? Because if not, what could someone do with something like that? And there's so many different ways, as I'm going to lay out in my speech in Hawaii, is that you could really start to damage or sway people. Like, for instance, I actually had a conversation with a guy last night, and he's a large business owner in Detroit. We were having dinner, and we were talking about this, and he says, well, what would that do to me? And I said, you know, Mario, I could go ahead and log in on a different property. It might be a new one. Maybe it's Foursquare. Maybe it's this or that. What if I was at Foursquare, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I could actually look at your Facebook profile. But since I'm friends with you, I could find someone that's friends with you, or I could find some old archive cached pages of some of your actual streams in Facebook. I could find out who your friends are, create your Foursquare account, and then I could start manipulating it and checking in, even falsely in a lot of ways, not even having to leave my home, and checking at strip clubs, adult bookstores, and start friending all of your other friends. I can make a persona, and they would, and probably a lot of your close friends would realize and understand that something bad happened to you, but they would also kind of wonder, in a reason, well, why didn't he have control of this, or how come he doesn't have this situation taken care of? So it's the perception that you can really hurt about people viewing you, and if, where could that roll to next?
Yeah, or and then people just doing basic search on your name or your company name.
exactly.
What's going to pop up?
Yeah, what's going to end up popping up? I mean, you could create Facebook accounts on people. In fact, today, if what is today's date?
The 27th.
The 27th of January. If you look at the front page of the Macomb Daily,
I'm sure everybody listening out there has it home delivered.
Is the best.
Go online, but actually, it's the first instance of the anti-bullying law.
Yeah,
that's being
heard
put
about
in.
That.
Yeah, and it's a guy that was pulled over. He's an older guy. I mean, he's definitely not an 18-year-old, but in his 20s or whatever, and started doing some online bullying to this police officer that pulled him over. And it's actually on the front page about it. You know, created a Facebook account and a group about, you know, this hatred against this police officer, and basically divulging, you know, personal aspects of this guy's life. Which, it's not hard to find personal things about somebody on there online. But let's say that my friend Mario, he's married, and he has a family. But let's say now that I then go on there and start friending a bunch of other women and start talking in certain ways, and I can grab his pictures from Google Images, the ones that have been crawled out there, I guarantee I could find three of them within 60 seconds.
And then Photoshop
them in, and maybe put his head over another person from an image that I got from the latest adult video news or adult video network convention at CES. So he's with the latest porn star hugging her, and his face is Photoshopped in there. But again, the perception that your friends and family or other people potentially doing business with you are going to see things like that. Now, how do you combat that? So let's say that your Twitter account or this or that was taken. What steps can you take in doing so? Oh, and by the way, do you think at all that's going to take any time? You think it's going to have any cost involved in doing so? And if it's going to be someone who may be even slyer than myself, we're going to cover our tracks. Good luck on even trying to prosecute someone in that. Because I get, call your local police department and tell them that someone stole my Facebook account and they're posting pictures up there about me and my daughter doing A, B, and C. They're going to have cyber crime investigation units, but trying to go to that level and actually getting them to devote time to something like this, the damage is done.
Yeah.
And then go after that person. What are you going to do?
It's tough.
It's definitely something to take in consideration now for a lot of bigger brands. And once that message is out there, it's going to be hard to redo that persona or that reputation that you might be grasping from something like that. So there's a couple services out there. One of them I recommend is called Knowem, KNOWEM.com. Knowem. You can go on there for a service. They monthly update, add tons of social networks to there, and they'll actually, for a small fee, they will actually create you accounts there and then put them in a centralized account for you so that at least you have access to those and you can hang on to those. But that's probably one of the ones I would do right now. And if not, you know, follow Mashable, follow some different sites that are out there. You can even follow our site. We talk about a lot of the newer networks that you can actually, I'm just even thinking like Flickr. I've seen some people who have had Flickr's account created in their names and just all these images posted of just the most ludicrous, weirdest shit. That if you were to search the name and see this, you're like, what is going on? And it takes you as an end user to figure out. Because at first, you're just going to believe it. Like, this is their account. These are their images. But then you start to think that there's something wrong with it. And why would they have possibly done this? Oh, they got hacked. So then that shows how much do you really care about what's going on with your persona online. So that even gives you a little bit of a more negative connotation to potential business or family members or friends.
With the Dave Bing account, when they canceled it,
Dave Bing.
Did they lose all of those followers?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So instead of just asking you for the 10,000 followers, they just started over.
Yeah, you know, in that time, too, I had grabbed a number of other Twitter accounts. I got, like, at Freep, at DET News. And I remember those are all connected with the Gmail account that I had, which are free and quick and easy to get. So there's disposable email accounts. There's so many different ways to get all this crap all over the place to protect the villain's identity, so to speak. They never even tried to reach out. I had a person from the Freep reach out to me, and I think it was one of the senior editors that actually reached to me via email and said, you know, are you utilizing this account? I see you have our name, blah, 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 blah. And I said, yeah, well, I'd be willing to sell it to you for $10,000. And they never responded. So they went with some other one, apparently. So,
and the other sort of takeaway from this.
And I would never do anything like that to any of my friends or customers.
Full disclosure. The other flip side of this, though, maybe from the PR perspective, is journalists look at Twitter to get story ideas. So the idea of how do you reach journalists? Press release is kind of a dead medium by and large. So the content that you're putting out there, pay attention to that because people. People find story leads. Journalists, find story leads through through Twitter. So, what we mentioned before about content and the content that you're putting out there, monitoring what's going on, it all kind of flows together.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just gonna say I come from journalism. I mean, I've got a degree in journalism and was one of the editors of my paper, and we relied on Twitter and Facebook immensely for stories.
Well, that's
and story
the thing
ideas.
And that's where I'm leading to is like what Dyro just brought up. And I mean, we got published on the front page of the Sunday edition for the Free Press,
the best,
and quoted as the mayor. And that just goes to show you their fact checking. So as new and new social networks emerge, the protocol for them to do verification what is it called, Dario, in your industry, is verification resources or
fact-checking?
Yeah, fact-checking. fact-checking becomes more and more and more difficult to actually get those. And you assume, or not for nothing, Mike, but I mean, you're new to the business world far as journalism. So you're going to be a little bit more greenback, a little bit more wet behind the ears, and some things could slip through the cracks.
Well, a perfect example of that is last year, the newspaper I worked for got duped pretty hard. We got a lead on Twitter and Facebook that some kid had died. And people were posting on a fake profile that this kid was dead, like, of him. So we had the paper ready to go on, page one, and then we found out at about 10:30, 10:45, about 28 minutes before deadline, that it was fake. And we had already had the story online for 3 hours. And it was because people didn't fact-check enough on Facebook and Twitter because the kid who was quote-unquote dead didn't use his real name on Facebook or Twitter. So when we searched for him on Facebook, we only found the fake account that was friended by, 80, 90 people.
Yep.
And made it seem like he was dead, and we almost ran the story.
It almost makes me think that maybe we should, if I really care that much about politics, like Obama's birth and not getting on the ballot in North Carolina, but to create some large campaign and get everybody involved in it with some fake, almost believable type of thing to, prove a point.
Yeah.
The fact of, really know the facts before you draw conclusions. But then we'd have the Men in Black showing up at our door.
We would.
Yeah,
and then our memories would be erased.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be a good thing for me, actually. I'd sleep a lot better at night, maybe. So anyways, I guess the conclusion of today's show is for your reputation online, and I think one of the starting points of that is to know all of the touch points that are potentially out there. Realize that people that may want to know about you. I guess your audience, what are all the different outlets and networks that they are utilizing to potentially find news and aggregate news and to make friends and make connections and be engaged? If you are becoming more of a focal point, you need to have a stronghold, or you need to have at least your foot placed in all of those different networks, and you need to be aware of what's going on and who may be actually representing themselves as you, as we did for the mayor of Detroit.
Yeah, and just one little side note on that too, for his people that were quote unquote managing it. You know, if you're managing it yourself or somebody else, I mean, the only way you can do these things is just by doing and jumping in with both feet, and you know.
Yeah, you can't say you're a social media manager or that you're A, B, C, or D when you really just don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. I mean,
don't even reply.
You don't even reply when someone's saying, listen, I have your boss's Twitter ID. We'd love to give it to you if you would just contact us so we can relinquish it to you. And I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, we don't work on Friday. That's a furlough day.
Shame on the journalist, too, because you reached out to her as well.
Yeah, so let's give her a shout-out. Let's give a shout-out to, if she's still employed, Kathleen Gray, Free Press staff writer. And as your article you wrote on May 17th, 2009, thank you for quoting me as the mayor of Detroit, Dave Bing. I appreciate that.
I think you sent her a tweet from Dave Bing.
Yes, we did. It, she responded, too. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, thank you for doing that and bringing some light to it and boosting my personal ego a little bit, at least to get some print. We have it saved here, so good work, and I wish you...
I think you should put this up on the site.
We should.
Yeah, I think we will. Yeah. We'll just go ahead and I got a nice picture of it. We'll put it up in there, and maybe we'll do a little at Dave Bing, and maybe let's tweet it out, and let's get some people following the mayor. Let's get a little look over to us, and hopefully they've listened to the podcast, and maybe the Men in Black will show up. Or at least some
let's
people.
Let's hope not.
We're probably going to get some flaming. That's going to happen. People are going to hate us for doing it so, but let me reinforce the fact that we were essentially doing it because nobody else was actually trying to have a social media presence for Detroit politics at that time.
If you can find that standby statement that was drafted,
you should post
that too, because really it was a social experiment to kind of say exactly what we've kind of talked about here was, hey, you know, you talk the talk, walk the walk kind of thing. You know,
yeah, and I don't expect Dave Bing to do that, but you have representation of.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a communications director, especially the title's implied.
Yeah, yeah. Karen. What the hell was her name?
The one who resigned or was.
Yeah, I wanted to say Ducemtars, but that's not it.
I cannot remember. All I want to say is Dukakis, and I know that's not right because that's Michael Dukakis.
Olympia.
Olympia Stadium. Red Wings?
Yes.
Mickey Redmond.
Yes.
And it comes full circle. Yeah. So Karen, whose last name will hold currently, she did a very wonderful job and good job with losing your job and having to step down for whatever reasons. I'm sure you're doing fine, just like all the other people from Fox 2 and everybody else that kind of took a little down bath and now are losing their condos and contributing to the beauty of Detroit and letting the property values drop. Although I have to leave it with one thing, is I was reading the article last week that was about the hell's his name?
Karen Dumas. Thank you, Google.
Yes. Karen, thanks for keeping an eye on Mr. Bing's social profile even a year and a half before you were let go. Good job. Way to be a communications director, but it was Charles Pugh, where he had a picture in the Free Press, and it was talking about the fact that he's losing his condo. He's going to let it go. You know, he doesn't have his big TV salary, blah, blah, blah. But the first comment at the end of the story was, he might want to start, generating some funds by selling his Burberry tie.
Because he had a Burberry tie out of the picture.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. And we drop from there. So thank you very much for listening to Trademark Productions SEO Podcast Radio.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions Weekly Podcast Radio Show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.